Thanks, Tom. Okay, keep your Bibles open in front of you. We've just picked up this part in John, and Jesus has just finished his public ministry. And so we see from verse 3, he knows exactly that it's time to leave earth and return to his Father in heaven. And so what he's doing now, he begins to prepare his disciples, his closest friends, for what is about to happen. And so a significant last meal for friends takes place here. And this is where we pick it up. So the friends that Jesus is with, verse 1, it says that Jesus loved them till the end. Okay, so walking around the streets in Jesus' time would have been really different from walking around the beautifully clean streets of East London. Okay, so if you're wearing your sandals, it would be dusty and dirty, your feet would get manky, it'd end up probably something like this. Absolute joy to look at. And it was a cultural norm when you went to someone's house and you'd be having food that the servant of the house would clean your feet ready for what was going to happen, for eating a meal together. And so here Jesus and his friends, they're about to sit down and have a meal together, and no one has been given the job. There's no servant there on hand to be cleaning up the dirty and the messy feet. So look what happens in verses 4 and 5. Jesus takes off his robe, he wraps a towel round his waist, and he gets down low to wash the feet of his friends. Now, I don't think we realise just how shocking that would have been for Jesus' friends. See, this was a job that was often considered too demeaning or too beneath even a Jewish slave or a Jewish servant. So that's why a Gentile slave or servant would be used. And we know today, don't we, in many countries, feet are considered still to be really offensive and dirty things that should be kept out of sight. Amen. And here we've got the perfectly clean one from God, verse 3, who had all things under his power. He could have had a whole load of servants on tap. He could have had a red carpet rolled out for him. He could have had people left, right and centre washing his feet and the feet of his friends. And yet, what does he do? He takes on the role of a slave. And look at Peter's reaction to what Jesus does in verse 6. Peter's reaction shows just how mind-blowing this situation is. He says, Lord, are you really going to wash my feet? And even as Jesus tells Peter that he doesn't understand, Peter goes on and he's insistent in verse 8. He says, you shall never wash my feet. That's not going to happen. My teacher and my Lord, you're not going to get down and wash my feet. And Jesus says again, you don't really understand, Peter. I feel like that was part of Peter's life often. He'd be the one who'd be out there saying stuff and Jesus would be, Peter, come on. You don't really get what's going on. And here between Peter and Jesus, we see actually a different picture that is taking shape. There's an external act that's taking place in the dirty washing of the dirty feet, but there's something else that's going on. Now, if you've been around at the mission the past few weeks, or if you haven't, we're in a series called Clean. And we have heard that our natural state, the state of our human heart, is that we are spiritually unclean. We have mucky and filthy and dirty hearts, dirtied by sin. And we heard, I think it was last week, Andy saying that even outwardly, if we look like we're sorted and we look presentable, we still inwardly can be filthy. And we've also heard that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to clean up our own hearts. There's nothing we can do. There's no money. There's no power. There's no status, there's no number of friends, there's no years of sobriety that will ever clean up our own hearts. And Jesus says in verse 8 that uncleanliness means that we can't be a part of him. Now the Greek word for that means that we're unable to relate to him, we're unable to have fellowship with him, we're unable to share with the clean one unless. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, unless I wash you. See, the responsibility for cleaning up our lives is Jesus's and Jesus's alone. And he does that not by an act of washing our feet, but by going to the cross. See, at this point in Jesus's life, the cross is only hours away. The place where the clean one would die for the unclean. The one who was sinless would bear the sin for us so that we could be right with God. And so that those who believe in him would be washed of their internal dirt, their internal filth, and be completely and utterly clean. And so verse 10, followers of Jesus, those who put their trust in him, are completely clean. The word for that is like a complete bath. A one-time event, filthy hearts made new. And listen, friends, that is true. Like, we are clean if we trust in Jesus, and we are forgiven whether you feel like you're forgiven or not, whether you feel like you can forgive yourself or not. You are clean and you are forgiven whether other people have forgiven you or not. Completely and utterly clean. I know when I first decided to follow Jesus, if you've been around church for a while, you would know something called a sinner's prayer. And so all it was, like, you would pray maybe for the first time, like, God, clean me up. I want to follow you. I choose to put my trust in you. And I remember when I came to faith, I kind of prayed that type of prayer, but I used to pray it every single day. Like, because I was like, God, I so want to be clean and I so want to be saved and I so want to be with you. And all I needed really was someone to come along and say, Jen, you're completely clean, completely forgiven, and you're now a part of me. And look, what must it have been like here in this passage, in that setting, when the disciples placed their feet before Jesus, their teacher and their Lord, was on bended knee, cleaning their dirty feet. I reckon that they would have felt pretty vulnerable. Must have felt like they were swallowing their pride that their leader was doing that for them. And you know, friends, receiving Jesus' spiritual washing of us requires that same kind of vulnerability and that same kind of swallowing of our pride. Because he's recognizing, God, I am completely unclean. And my self-sufficiency isn't going to clean me up. It might get me through a lot of life, but it's not going to clean me up. It's putting that aside and saying, come and wash me. And so let me ask you this morning, have you been spiritually washed by him? If you have, you have got reason to celebrate this morning. Such good reason to celebrate. But if you haven't, you know, what is stopping you from coming to him? Is it your pride? Is it that actually you feel ashamed of the dirtiness and the state of your heart? If that's the case, then look at the people who Jesus got on his knees for to clean their feet. Yeah, they were his friends, and you might do some things for your friends. To be honest, I draw the line at cleaning my friends' feet, personally. Don't be coming with your toes after the service. But Jesus' friends, he's cleaning the feet of those who are going to desert him in his hour of need. He's cleaning the feet of the one who's going to deny him to save his own skin. He's cleaning the feet of the one who's already plotted to betray him. And he's there cleaning. How powerful is that? Such love that he would get on bended knee and do it for those who are going to deny, those who are going to flee, and those that are going to betray him. And look, Jesus isn't a fool. Look at verse 11. He knows that Judas, the backstabbing one, was going to do that all along. And yet his love stays unwavering even for Judas. Jesus cleans physically, we say around here, like manky feet, so dirty feet, disgusting feet. But he also cleans our spiritually manky hearts. Friends, Jesus went to the cross for the rebel and the self-obsessed and the power-hungry and the workaholic and the shopaholic and the broken and the sick and the religious. The list goes on. He went to the cross for people like Judas, who hung around this Jesus stuff and around his people, but who weren't clean themselves because they had never believed. What's Peter's reaction? Have a look, verse 9. There's like this instant reversal. Whoa, if that's the case, Jesus, clean my feet, clean my head, clean my hands. Any part of my body on display, I'll have a full cleaning. But what do we see? We see that actually Peter still doesn't get it. Jesus continues, verse 10, he says, those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. Now, this reminded me of what I've called old school washing, okay? So back in the day when I was younger, which wasn't that many years ago, who said, on a Sunday evening, Mum would drop us in the bath, and we would have a full-scale like bath, hair wash, the whole lot. You weren't allowed out of the bath till you were smelling fresh and like shining. And then we'll get out and we would be ready for the week, completely clean. And then the rest of the week, we had a flannel wash. Anyone, like, was that the deal then? See, it's water conservation before it's time. None of this like shower and a bath a day business. Like, you only really got to scrub with your flannel during the week if you had been up to proper mischief and covered in dirt and stuff. I was completely clean on that Sunday evening, but actually the grime and the dirt from the day-to-day life still meant that Mum would have to give me a scrub on my face, normally my knees where I was like playing football and my hands and stuff. Friends, if you follow Jesus and if you've put your trust in him, you are completely clean. There's no denying that. And there's not even a but, it's probably an and. That day-to-day life means that we still get dirty and we need day-to-day cleansing for our sin. And that's like a daily spiritual foot washing that takes place. And we do that through confession. So saying to God, God, you know what? I've messed up. I've done this. Or God, I should have done that and I didn't do that. And receiving the forgiveness that is ours. There's a book further on in the New Testament called 1 John. And chapter 1 verse 8 to 9 says this. If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, the fact that Jesus is the one who helps us to stay clean doesn't mean that we can go on to live our lives the way that we want. See, when my house has been cleaned, I don't make it my life's ambition to dirty it again. That would be ridiculous. But actually, when that happens, it just needs to be cleaned up. Normally the crumbs by the toaster. I won't tell you who makes that mess in my house. To stay clean, friends, means to dislike our sin and to come daily to Jesus. And so if you're following Jesus this morning, you're standing before God is completely clean. Verse 10, born again, a child of God made right with the Father. And it's knowing that we daily fall short of God's standards and coming to him to deal with our ongoing sin. Now, it might be that we fall into two camps with this. When we kind of consider our day-to-day kind of stuff and our sin, I know for some people, they get massively overwhelmed by like how sinful they kind of feel. And they beat themselves up. Or there's other people who feel just a little bit indifferent about it all. A couple of weeks ago, I was really challenged. Malk spoke on a psalm, I think it might have been 51, Psalm 51. And the start of it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And at the end of it, whoever was leading service led us in a time of reflection. And I kind of sat there and I thought, yeah, God, I feel really indifferent, actually, to my sin. Really indifferent. And I know that that's not right, because I know in my head that I'm sinful, but actually in my heart, I don't even know what's going on. So I said, God, would you search my heart and see if there's any offensive way within me? And you know, it's amazing when we pray that. Like, be careful when you do pray that, because God's really happy to show you the state of your heart. And he's like, Jen, actually, there's unforgiveness in your heart that you haven't dealt with, and actually you've justified. And that's the stuff that recently I've been bringing to God on a daily basis for that daily spiritual foot washing. And so are you allowing Jesus to help you stay clean? Or are you trying to do it in and through your own strength? Jesus goes on with his followers in verse 14 to instruct them to wash one another's feet. Now, some of you, like, if you love a little foot massage, you might be thinking, great, we're going to get out a bowl of water, wash one another's feet. Or you might be like me and thinking, no, we're okay for that. It says in verse 15 that Jesus set that as an example. I don't think he wanted us to be necessarily going out and having foot washing ceremonies. But actually, there's a really key example that he's bringing to the followers of Jesus. And that example is getting down low in humility and love to serve somebody else. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. See, this example that Jesus is giving, he couldn't be washing his friends' feet from a distance. He couldn't be serving them from arm's length. He had to be up close and personal. Out of God's great love for us, Jesus washes us clean. And we respond to that, not to be nice, but because we're representatives, verse 20, of Jesus, who are completely clean. That is our motivation. And so how do we represent him? We serve others who treat us well. We show love and humility towards them. But do you know what else? We serve others who disappoint us. We serve others who let us down. We serve others who hurt us. And we serve others who betray us. And that is love in action right there. How hard is that? Jesus says, verse 17, if you do these things, you will be blessed. God's favour will rest upon you. You'll be glad and joyful. See, Jesus' whole entire ministry was one of selflessness and sacrifice. Jesus is saying, if you understand who I am, it will be your privilege to represent me. Your privilege to represent me, and you will be glad. And so, friends, what kind of representative, like, really are you this morning? Not the representative that comes to church on a Sunday, but the representative kind of Monday to Saturday. If you've been washed clean by Jesus, go low in humble service of somebody else. See, we live in a world where pride and ambition, they rule. We're called to be feet washers of those around us. And so if you're a parent or a leader, what does it look like to wash people's feet? If you're a manager or just a day-to-day Christian getting on about your business, go low and represent your Saviour where you are. Because then you'll know his joy. Love beyond reason at every opportunity. Jesus says, unless I wash you. Unless Jesus washes us, friends, we're not going to be clean. That's the long and the short of it. That is the kind of point of our whole series. Unless he washes us, we will not be clean. And so Jesus washes us so we can be completely clean. Will you come to him? Jesus is the one who helps us stay clean. Will you keep coming to him? Coming to him with the stuff that nobody else knows about. Coming to him with the stuff that is habitual. Coming to him with the stuff that actually, you know, it doesn't look good on a child of God. And friends, we are called as followers of Jesus, if you are that this morning, to serve him, to be his representative, and to follow his example of getting down low to serve somebody else, even those people that we don't like. Jesus washes us clean. So good. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that when you went to the cross, you washed us clean. And thank you for the invitation that there is for us this morning who don't know you to come and receive that cleansing of our dirty hearts. And for those of us that do know you, thank you that we stand before you this morning completely clean. And God, I pray that we would have the kind of relationship with you where you would be the one who helps us to stay clean. And God, you know our struggles this morning. You know the stuff that we should be doing that we're not. You know the stuff we do that we shouldn't be doing. God, help us to swallow our pride and just come to you with that stuff. And would you help us to represent you so well? Not because we have to be nice, but because we're completely clean. And we want to express that to others and follow your example. And so, God, show us the people and the places where we need to be serving. And for those people who kind of make it a challenge to do that, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us and embolden us to be able to serve them with the kind of love that you showed your disciples. Thank you that we can be clean and have a part of you and be with you and have a future that is bright beyond this life because of you. Amen.